So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers. All right, welcome everybody to the Sales Secrets Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about coaching, how to do it, why it's important, what you should be doing in order to coach your people better on the phone, in your sales team. And to do that, we brought on Jason Smith. He is the Director of Sales Development and Enablement over there at Unifine. Jason, thanks so much for joining. How the heck are you?
I'm probably at about a 10 out of 10 today, Gabe.
Well, coming from the greater Atlanta area, you got to be, man. I appreciate it. Jason and I just connected. I was heading down to Atlanta. I was looking for people that might want to come to a quick kind of meet and greet. I saw his profile and I was like, this looks interesting. He's written some cool LinkedIn articles. I think he's got kind of a thought leadership mojo going. And so I'm excited to jump into this passionate topic of coaching, Jason, here in just a minute. But before we do, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and what you do at Unifine?
Totally. So, Gabe, I've been in sales for about the last 15 years and really kind of fell into like a niche of sales inside of sales development. So that's what I've been doing at Unifine, is heading up their sales development program. This is the second time that I've created a initial sales development team for an organization. So for the past several months, it's been all about setting up infrastructure, making hires, and then, you know, scaling the business. And one of the fastest ways to do that is to apply great coaching. So that's why like the topic of coaching is so important to me. You know, because typically you're hiring brand new people out of college or second job out of college for self-development. So, you know, the coaching that they receive early on, it really goes with them for the rest of their career. And so that's really what I'm laser focused on right now at Unifine.
I love it. I love it. And we'll get into a little more of that in here in just a minute. Just wondering about yourself. I mean, Atlanta's a fun place. Anything you outside of work you're crazy passionate about? Fun hobbies, embarrassing moments?
I would say the thing that I love to do the most outside of work is run. Huge runner. So little known fact, I've actually won a half marathon before. So it's a sport of, I don't know, you've got to be a little insane to love running as much as you need to be able to win a half marathon. But it's a true passion and a way to test a discipline, I guess, is what I would say.
I love that, man. Yeah, I'm not a runner, but I can appreciate someone who likes to run. Anyway, let's dive into coaching. You touched on it just a minute ago, but talk to us about so many aspects of leadership, of sales development. Why have you kind of honed in on coaching as something that is just core to who you are and kind of what you do as a leader?
Well, so it kind of comes down to, and you and I have talked about it a little bit, like the difference between coaching and training. And I kind of view training in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of great trainers out there, but in a lot of ways, training is like a checklist, right? And so, you know, you're just, you know, you're going down, I need to train them on this, check, I need to train them on this, check, I need to train them on this, check. Whereas coaching is more of a relationship. And there's a lot of caring personally that needs to be done in coaching. And so that's why I just love coaching, because a little bit more about my backstory is the simple fact that initially in my sales career, I was a failed salesperson. And it all came down to a lack of, like I just didn't have a framework for success on the phone. I didn't have a framework for success in email. I didn't have a framework for self, for myself, in how to, you know, position my, or schedule my day, and those kinds of things. So then one day a coach showed up, and that person changed my life. And so that's why it's so important. And I just kind of have dedicated my life to be, that person for the people that I hire and the people that I care for.
Interesting. So you kind of experienced it yourself and thought, my goodness, there's some power here. I ought to see if I can't kind of pull this into my own, tool belt and help others. Is that correct?
Oh, totally. I mean, it's just so important. You know, I've lived it. I've lived the difference between no coaching and having a great mentor. And so, after feeling it, there's the difference, between someone who has, felt that versus, it's all academic. And so for me, it's not academic.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That is the problem, I think, with a lot of training stuff. It's too academic, and it therefore, you know, it's funny, training, coaching, it's, we're seeing a little bit of disruption, I think, with companies like Exec Vision, Gong, because, man, the idea of just sitting in a room and listening to somebody kind of say something to you, and then not hearing from that person again for a month, you know, the old school pay a trainer to come, it's got to be different than that. So, I want to get into the concept, having done it for a while now and being kind of passionate about it. You mentioned a little bit of the difference between training and coaching. Just to kind of double click on that, a lot of people mix those up. When you say coaching, what is it?
Yes. So for me, coaching, and I kind of touched on it a little bit when I said coaching is the relationship. I mean, coaching is one of those things, and I don't know if you've ever read the book Radical Candor, but you have to be able to do two things well, and that's care personally and challenge directly. And that's radical candor. And I think that's where coaching comes into. Unless you care personally about the individual that you're working with, and unless you're in a place in a relationship where you can challenge directly, then you're really not coaching. You're training, or you're manipulating.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a very, very important distinction. You've got to be able, if you're a coach, you're doing those two things. You care personally, and you're challenging directly.
Yeah, I love that. I think that does. That's a clear delineation between what those two do. What do you feel like are some of the key aspects? I mean, you've touched on it just a little bit as you talked about the difference between coaching and training, but what is great coaching? What does it look like? What are some of the key elements?
Yeah, so I think one of the ways that I've been able to kind of crystallize coaching, and you need to really be able to break it down between coaching in different components, right? You need to be thinking about how am I going to coach in terms of calls? How am I going to coach in terms of the way you structure your day? Coaching in the way that you write emails.
Yeah.
Coaching in the way that you engage prospects. So there's different elements of coaching, and you need really a systematic way to break down all of those components. And so for me, one of the ways, and you and I talked about this a little bit, some of the most incredible growth that I've seen in reps over the years is the growth that happens during call coaching. And you and I talked about this a little bit, a data-based way of doing call coaching is so, so important because it's scalable. As I'm thinking about, like, you know, for myself as a manager, I needed really a way to hold myself in check too, because every one-on-one and every call coaching scenario, they can really take on a life of their own. And so you end up, and early in my career, what I would end up doing is I would coach every rep differently based on that individual moment. And so I really needed a way to not just hold the rep in check and do it in a scalable, predictable, and consistent kind of way, but also in a way that held myself accountable to that same standard. So that's where the call scoring framework. So I've created a call scoring framework, data-based way of coaching reps, which is something you and I talked about a little bit before, which really was a huge game changer for myself and my career and the reps that I serve.
Yeah, and I want to get into that then a little bit. I think you set up a good foundation of kind of why it's important and a little bit of what it is. Let's talk about this framework you've kind of played around with. What does it look like? Again, we don't have to give all the trade secrets away, but people are dying to know good success formulas for coaching, and would love for you to take us through that and how you apply that to your team.
Totally. So there are five things that I think about when I think about an effective application of a call coaching score framework and those one-on-ones, and the results that you get from it. So the first one is confidence, right? So Mike Weinberg is a mentor of mine, an amazing author. Something that he has said so many times, he said, "I'm never going to win an award for saying this, but the way you sound on the phone matters," right? And as a rep, you know that the way you sound matters. So the first element is confidence, right? Like, so a confident rep is a rep that knows what success looks like and sounds like. And so that's why that framework is so important. The second element that is really, really important, and I've talked about this a lot, is just the consistency and the predictability and the scalability of the call coaching system. And we've all been there as sales managers where someone come in your office and say, "Man, I had a great call," and they'll talk about how good it felt, right? And then if you score that thing, it's like, "No, that wasn't a good call at all." Or it might be the inverse, right? You might hang up the phone and go, "Man, that was a horrible call." But then you score it and you realize, "Man, I learned a ton of information that's going to set me up for that next call," right? So I think that, you know, the scalability and the consistency is important. The third reason why you really need a data-based way and this call scoring framework is improvement over time. Okay. It's a number, right? So as you're thinking about, okay, is Gabe getting better, right? Yep. Is Gabe improving? Well, the number tells you, right? So 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, as you go through time, you're able to tell, is Gabe consistently getting better, right? So improvement over time is very important. The fourth element, which is super important, is the customizable way of applying points.
Yeah.
All right. So this is where I'll kind of get into a little bit of the call scoring framework. Yeah. So when you're thinking about the components, some of them, like one very important one is, did you describe the solution simply and concisely? Right. Like did you do it at a sixth grader level? Did you pique the curiosity of the prospect, right? Like those different elements have a higher point score than did you say your name?
Yes.
Did you get permission to continue the call? So like we all know, logically there are different things that happen within a call,
yep,
that have more importance, right? So you just simply apply a different point score to the things that carry more weight and are more valuable in that call. And then the fifth thing, and the final thing is you can make score correlations to success. So that gives your rep, like, we're just going to chase a number, right? So like what I've seen historically with the call scoring is if you score 150 points or more on a call, yep, you get the meeting, right? And so what a liberating feeling to know you're chasing a number. And if I score 150 points, there's only been one time in the entire history of this framework that I've been using where we've had a rep that didn't get the discovery call after scoring over 150 points.
Wow.
Let me just real quick see if I can summarize, because I was actually, I don't always take notes, but I was trying to take some notes. So it sounded like it had the five parts. It was confidence was kind of that first part, getting some consistency. I've got improvement over time, a customized point system, and then getting that score to correlate to successes. Were those kind of the five overarching principles, or did I miss one there?
Nope, you nailed it, Gabe.
Sorry, I was actually typing. Sometimes I type, you can probably hear it in the recording in this instance, but I was typing notes to try to capture that. Where do you feel like, God, I would love to go into actually each of these, and you touched on them a little bit, but where do you feel like people go astray in coaching? I'm looking at this model and I'm thinking, okay, you know, this seems rational. It doesn't seem like rocket science. How come people don't do this? Is it just too hard to do, or do you get lost often in one step, do you feel like?
Well, the biggest thing that people stumble on is the consistency.
Yeah.
Right? Because to do this, it means that you're going to have to lean into some conflict, right? I don't know a lot of people who love to hear the way they sound on the phone. Right. So when you're in those one-on-ones and you play this call back, right, there's a little bit of like stage fright that exists. And so there's, you know, some people, some reps are more interested in it than others. Right. So the consistency is absolutely key. And doing it once a week, absolutely key. And it's just, it takes a lot of intentional effort. And so a lot of sales managers, like, listen, we're all running. We're all running as hard as we possibly can all day long. And so sometimes you just kind of feel like, all right, I'm going to turn this one-on-one into a little bit of a coffee session where we just kind of talk, right? But that's not what your rep needs. Your rep needs that consistency. They need that coaching. And that's really the biggest, you know, area where you're going to stub your toe, is it's just easier to not do it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. And then talk to me. I want to just go a little bit into the scoring system. You hit it on a little bit, but I feel like people, they can at least wrap their head around, okay, I get that I should probably be sitting down with people. I probably should be being consistent. But I do think when they start thinking of like a some form of a scoring sheet or a scoring model, I do think their mind starts to kind of go, do you feel any advice or thoughts on thinking through how to create a structure with a point system attached?
Totally. So, I mean, there are different elements, and the one that I put together, it's like a Frankenstein of a lot of books read over the years. Mike Weinberg, New Sales Simplified, Spin Selling, Snap Selling, and on and on. So it's like this big Frankenstein of sales call best practices. And so the first thing that I would say is, you want to build a call coaching framework that really aligns with your sales methodology, something that you're using. If you're a challenger sale organization, align it to a challenger sale. Yeah. If you're a spin selling organization, align it to spin. Whatever sales methodology you're using, you want to try to put together a call coaching framework that aligns with, you know, the methodology that you're employing. Thankfully, my organization and it being a bit of a new kind of a concept, my Frankenstein approach is working, right? But that's the first thing that I would tell you to do. And I mean, what you said, totally true. I mean, there's no, like, nothing that I've said is like, oh man, I never thought about that before. That's the most genius thing. It's all very logical. And if you if you sit down and you just begin to reverse engineer, what are the pieces of an outstanding call, and just list them out and then place a point value next to those pieces, this thing just kind of, it builds itself pretty simply.
Interesting. Well, I think you've probably given us some pretty solid advice there. Last thing, our time is a little short, but that last step, that correlation to success, well, and maybe you can kind of tie this up in a summary statement, but it seems like you've got to, you know, obviously you want to make sure that that, whatever system you have, whatever rubric you come up with, does actually, when they do these behaviors, it does lead to the ultimate objective we had. Any quick advice deeper on that part of it?
Yeah, totally. So when you're trying to make a score correlation, one of the things that you might consider doing is kind of create like this call score of the week, kind of a contest, right? Like you want to use this end result, like definitely, like if you're sales development, it's the meeting, it's the opportunity, and so I mean, like that's my niche, that's the world, that's the way in which I view the world. But what I would say is, like, there's a lot of creative things that you can do with these score correlations. Best call of the day, top score. Best call of the week, top score. And really celebrate those reps that are really striving for excellence on the phone.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. All right. Well, our time is short. Let's wrap here. Any comments from a summary statement, or as we kind of leave, you think about some of the audience leaders here thinking about running coaching programs, what would you leave them with?
Yeah. So I would say you just want to make sure that you're doing everything that you can to ingrain it into the DNA of how your managers coach. You know, one of the things when if you're a manager of managers and you want to know that all of your managers are delivering a great experience to your reps consistently, you really need a call scoring type of a framework, one that you've endorsed and one that you believe in. That way, you know that, you know, your reps are getting what you consider is the best, with a lot of confidence.
Love it. I love it, man. All righty. If someone wants to learn a little bit more about you, Unify, what's the best way to do that, Jason?
Yeah. So I'm super active on LinkedIn. Hard to find me because it's Jason Smith. But if you do Jason Smith at unify.com, you can definitely find me. I'm pretty active on Twitter as well. Handle at Servant Leader.
At Servant Leader. I love it, man. All right. Well, again, appreciate your time, Jason, for jumping on today. Great talk track around coaching. Always an important thing that we've got to put into our tool belt, I think, as leaders. So again, thanks for the time, and remember, for the audience success, it's just one play.
Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.